Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all gathered this Sunday morning. What a beautiful Sunday morning it is, and it's lovely to see each and every one of you out this morning. If you're a visitor with us this morning, you are very welcome. I want to give particular welcome to the families, the Bronte and Jenkinson families, who are here today for the baptism of little Martha. You're all very welcome here to First Rothery Island, and we trust that you will have a blessed time here this morning. Also, just to say a word of thanks to our praise band. It's good to see our praise band performing and playing again here in the corner. It's pre-COVID, I think, from the last heard, the guitars and the flutes and the drums and all the rest of it in here. And I just think it's a great thing. So great to see you all back again here, folks. And thank you for taking the time to prepare for this morning's service. I just have a few short announcements to make before we commence our morning service. Just a reminder that tomorrow evening, Men's Fellowship will be meeting in the Morrison Room. It's Monday evening, 23rd at 8 p.m. I would encourage men of the congregation, if you're free, to come along to that, because that should be a good night's crack. The special guest is our own minister, the Reverend Moody. You'll maybe get to hear a wee bit more detail about him, and he will be interviewed by our own Mark Bronte. So there'll be some refreshments as we join together in fellowship. So that's tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. Just a couple of other things to say, that on Wednesday evening, the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study will be as usual at 8 p.m. And this week it'll be led by Mark Annett. GB and BB will be as usual on Thursday and Friday evenings. And then next Sunday, just to say that the prayer meeting is at 11 o'clock, morning worship at 11:30, and DV that will be led and conducted by the Reverend Moody. Just a note to say that a great evening last night for the Youth Fellowship. Good numbers turned up at the manse, I believe. So that's really encouraging. Could I just ask you to continue to pray for that work with our Youth Fellowship? So it's all good news this morning, both the Praise Band and Youth Fellowship. And just a reminder to the young people to say that from the 5th of November, Youth Fellowship will meet on the 1st and 3rd Sundays of the month up in the Morrison Room. If you're planning to make a donation towards Samaritan's Purse, that's the shoebox appeal, you still have a couple of weeks yet to prepare for that. The final date for collection of the boxes will be the 13th of November. So there are still some boxes and leaflets out in the vestibule, and I would encourage you to be part of that as well. Also a reminder, put in your diary of the table quiz and dessert night on Saturday the 4th of November in the church hall, and that's being run by the Sunday School. And finally, just to say a word of thanks to the ladies and all those involved in the PW coffee morning and craft morning yesterday in the church hall. Really good reports about that, and in particular, £1,200 was raised. So that was a really good morning's effort. So thanks to each and every one of the ladies who were involved either in the plans and preparations and to those who turned up to support. So thank you, one and all. And I now hand over to the Reverend Moody.
Thank you, David. Good morning. And welcome to our service of worship here at First Rothery Island. It's great to see you all gathered here today. In Isaiah 44, verse 6, we read, "This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God." We come today to worship the one true living God. So let us stand and worship him as we sing our first hymn, "I Stand Amazed."
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we're gathered here today, we are amazed at your love for each one of us. We're amazed that you love us, that you have given us and provided us with all that we have needed. Lord, we give you praise and we thank you. Because, Lord, we realize you are perfect and holy. And, Lord, we are far from perfect. We have sinned against you in word, thought, and deed. Lord, we pray that you will forgive us. Forgive us for our sins. And as we gather here today, singing your praises, listening to your word, we pray that you will challenge us afresh. Challenge us through your word, rebuke us through your word, and encourage us through your word. So we may go out of this place into a new week, living our lives for you, giving you the glory and honor that you deserve. And Lord, helping those around us to see something of your amazing love, even through the way we act and react. Lord, bless us as we gather here this day and cause us to be a blessing to others as we go out to a new week later. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to turn to God's word. This morning we're reading from Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10, and then we'll be going back one gospel to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. So let us hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus had finished saying all this, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come. And he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Then turning over to Mark chapter 1. Verses 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now today we're gathered here and we have a beautiful event. We have a baptism. John and Karen Bronte have brought their daughter Martha forward for baptism. So right now we're going to stand and we're going to sing the first two verses of the baptismal hymn, "Eternal Father, Lord of Life," and this is to the tune of "How Deep the Father's Love." So let us worship God together.
You all may be seated. In Genesis 17, verse 7, we read, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come." Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Then, on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." This sacrament is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace which God has made with us in Christ. It is a sign that points to what God has done for us. It points to his cleansing us from sin, bringing us from death to life, and making us heirs of his kingdom. As a seal, it is a guarantee of God's promise of salvation, a promise that comes to pass when we trust in Jesus. For the believer, it points to what God has done when he or she has trusted in Christ. For the child, it points to what God will do when they finally trust in Christ. When a child is baptized, God is declaring that the child is special to him. Although salvation is promised, the child must come to God and by faith acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior later in life. When a child is baptized, parents are declaring openly that they are Christians and that they want their child to come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way and to grow up to serve him. They are asking for God's help and the support of the church as they bring up their child in the ways of God. In faith, John and Karen now present their child, Martha, for baptism. So would the congregation please stand? It is the duty of those who present their children for baptism to profess their faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to promise to bring their child up in that faith, in the nurture and teaching of the Lord, and in the ways of the Church of God. Therefore, in presenting this child for baptism, do you profess your faith in God as your Creator and Father, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and in the Holy Spirit as your Sanctifier and Guide? Will you, by God's help, provide a Christian home and bring up this child in the worship and teaching of the church so that she may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Now to the congregation. Do you, who now in Christ's name receive this child into the fellowship of the church, promise with God's help so to order your congregational life and witness that she may grow up in the knowledge and love of God and be continuously surrounded by Christian example and influence? Now,
you okay?
Martha, Hazel, Janet, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and abide with you always. Amen. Now, if we all join together and sing the ironic blessing together. According to Christ's command, into the membership of the Holy Universal and Apostolic Church, and is engaged to be the Lord's. You all may be seated. And you may go back to your mother. I would like to give you this Bible, children's Bible, and pray that it will be a blessing to you as a family and that you will have time to read it together. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you that in your infinite mercy and goodness, you have promised to be not only our God, but also the God and Father of our children. And you've received this child by baptism into the life of your church. Lord, we pray that you will guard and guide Martha all her days. May your love hold her, your truth guide her, your love delight her. May she grow strong in body and mind and come to faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Continue to make her home a place of safety and security, and help her parents to teach her your truth and lead her in your way. Lord, today we pray for all families in this congregation. May you be cherished in all our homes, and may your presence in our midst transform our lives, and may all your children grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now we all rise to sing the final two verses of our baptismal hymn.
Thank you.
Now, for our prayer of intercession today, the moderator of the Presbyterian Church has sent out a letter to all ministers asking that, again this week, we remember the situation in Israel and the Palestine territories. So I'm going to read a little of the letter he sent, and then I will pray through some of the points that he asked us to pray for. We don't usually do it like this, getting a letter from the moderator, but when we do, we try and do what we can. And then I'll also bring some of our own needs of the congregation before the Lord together in prayer. It says, as a moderator, I'm writing to you to ask that on this coming Sunday and in the week ahead that you encourage the members of your congregation to continue to pray earnestly for this unfolding crisis. The scriptures remind us when faced with times of great distress and confusion, and as we struggle to grasp divine perspective, that we should pour out our hearts to God in lament, while still resting in the assurance of his sovereignty and providence. So as we lift up in prayer the land of our Lord's birth and the communities he once walked amongst, let us remember that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who performed so many miracles long ago, is still able today to do immeasurably more than all we ask of him. So we're going to pray for that situation. We're going to pray also for the continued war in Ukraine and with Russia, and also other areas in this world where there is violence and suffering. So let us come before the Lord and let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise your glorious name. You are a God who loves us and cares for us. You are concerned for us in the midst of sorrow and at times of joy. You are always there for us. So, Lord, we come to you right now in prayer. Lord, we pray for this situation in Israel and Palestine, the Palestine territories there. Lord, we pray that you will intervene, that you will intervene in your sovereign grace and mercy. We pray that you will bring an end to this conflict and that you will bring a safe release and return of hostages. Lord, we thank you for those who already have been. Lord, we pray for peacemakers to be raised up, leaders of communities and nations to be brought together in negotiation. Lord, we pray for peace. Lord, we pray for the grieving and heartbroken. We pray that they will know God's comfort. We pray for the traumatized and injured, that they will be able to receive the medical treatment and support that's needed. We pray for the humanitarian relief. We pray that it will reach the displaced and most vulnerable, those who have lost absolutely everything. We pray that they would know God's protection and provision. And Lord, we pray this too for those in Ukraine. We pray for those who have lost everything, those who are still in the midst of distress, not knowing what is going to happen. Lord, in the midst of a terrible war, Lord, we pray for that situation. There will be peace, there will be comfort. We pray that you'll protect those who are able to get the medical supplies, the aid into the country. Keep them safe, and may that aid get where it needs to go. Lord, we pray for other places on this planet that are going through conflict at this time but do not appear on our TV screens. Lord, we pray for peace. We pray that you will raise up peacemakers that people will listen to and set down their arms. Lord, I pray for each one of us in the situations you will take us into this week. We pray that you will help us bring peace. Bring peace wherever we go. Give us ears to hear. Help us to listen to people and listen to you, so we are doing what we should in the situation you call us to, that we are bringing blessing and joy. Give us opportunities to do that. Lord, we pray for those of our loved ones who are finding it difficult at this time, those who are in pain. We pray, Lord, that you will ease their pain. We pray for those who are continually caring for their loved ones and the loved ones of others. We pray that you'll help them, continue to give them the strength they need as they pour themselves out for others. And Lord, I pray that you'll help each of us do the same as we see people around us who are in difficulty. Help us not turn away. Help us be the helpers you call us to be. Give us the wisdom, the desire to do so, and the ability to do so, we pray. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to stand and continue to worship God as we sing the hymn, Yet Not I. Again, thank you, worship group. And again, there's plenty more seats up around here, so if anyone has that ability to play an instrument, it's great to use that gift as well for the worship of God. So please do think of joining. It's not an exclusive club up at the front. It's just not. Thank you very much for the ones who are here already, and we do welcome more and more. So thank you again today, and for the choir as well, as they led us. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I really do not like to wait. Waiting is not something that any of us really like. At times, we can be waiting and waiting, whether we're working or at school, waiting for those holidays to finally come. We can be waiting, perhaps less now than usual, but we can be waiting for the post to come. Now it seems the only post that comes are bills or something like that, but we can be waiting and waiting, and sometimes we can be tempted to wait our lives away, always waiting for that next thing, and sometimes as we're waiting for something else, we forget the moment we are in. But in the passage today, Jesus tells us the time for waiting was over. The time for waiting was over. John the Baptist, we read here, was thrown in prison. What had he done wrong? Well, he was just standing up for what was right, declaring what was right. In Mark 6, we find he was put in prison for speaking out against Herod. Herod had married his brother's wife and shouldn't. He had stood up and done what was right, and now his ministry was over. The rest of his days would be in a prison cell until, as we know, he was tragically beheaded in Mark 6. His ministry was almost at an end, but here the ministry of the Lord Jesus is, as it were, just beginning. Jesus, we're told, goes to Galilee, and there he proclaims the good news. The good news of God. And again, we looked at that earlier. Well, I think my first Sunday almost here. The gospel. The good news from God. And this is, of course, something that the Bible said, the Old Testament said, the Messiah would do. The Messiah would come and be a proclaimer, proclaiming the gospel. Isaiah 40 verse 9, you who bring good tidings, good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain, you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem. Jesus was now fulfilling scripture as he was bringing the good news. And he would take it right into Jerusalem, just as the Old Testament said. You know, we must never forget the good news, the gospel. This is what people should want to hear. You usually like to hear good news, don't you? Good news is something that brings joy. But in this case, of course, this good news did not always bring people joy. Nowadays, many people do not like hearing the good news. Many people do not like hearing the gospel. Many people do not care about it. Others actually hate it. Others want it stopped. People try to stop the good news being proclaimed. And why is that? Because to accept the good news, you also have to accept what can be considered the bad news. The bad news, and people do not like to hear bad news, especially when it is about you and me. Because the Bible says the bad news is that we all need a Messiah, because we are all in trouble. We are all by nature in deep trouble. No one likes to hear that, but it's true. The Bible says we have sinned against our Creator, our Maker. We have violated his holy laws. And in doing that, we live in open hostility with the all-powerful Creator God. We are at war with God by nature because of our sin. Some choose to pretend that is not so, but the Bible makes it clear it is. And we can see the consequences of sin all the way through this world. It is there. We can see it outside. And if we're truthful, and of course we're always truthful, we know it even in our own lives. That struggle, those times where we do what we know we should not do, when we know what our Creator has said, yet we do the direct opposite. Sin in our lives that needs dealt with and will be dealt with, the Bible says. But the good news to that, such a contrast, is that Jesus has dealt with it. Jesus has dealt with the sin of the world, with the sin in your life. Jesus came to sort out that mess that you cannot sort out yourself, that I cannot sort out. But Jesus came and died on the cross for your sin and mine. So you can be forgiven if you respond to that good news, as we will see in the words of Jesus. The good news of God, Jesus tells them, the time has come. The time has come. At times, we are slaves to time, aren't we? We look at the clock. What time is it? When will the minister finish? Will he ever finish? He will. But we can be a slave to time. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 tells us, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to get up. We don't always like it. A time to go to bed, a time for school, a time for lunch, a time for dinner, even a time for the minister to sit down, a time for work, and there always should be a time to play, a time to relax. But we can be slaves to time. We can be slaves to time. We can let it dictate. When I was in Uganda, my brother's a missionary in Uganda, has been for about 25 years, but I remember once going and sitting in the church service. And the church service was 2.5 hours long. Would you enjoy that? I noticed in that service, this was just one service, it wasn't all of them, the sermon was 20 minutes in that 2.5 hours, probably because I was the one doing the sermon at that time. The announcement and the welcome took 45 minutes. And then there was worship filling the rest of the time. And unfortunately, I noticed those times. You can see that even the minister is a slave to time at times, watching, just like perhaps you do. We are students of the clock. We can live by it. But imagine these people. These people had been waiting and waiting and waiting. Right from the very beginning, they were waiting to hear about the kingdom of God coming. Right from the fall, remember, God had promised he would send someone who would crush the serpent's head. He promised. And they had been waiting and waiting and waiting. Longer than an hour, longer than 2.5 hours, years and years and centuries, they had been waiting. God had promised that he would establish his kingdom in this world. A kingdom would reign like David. A king like David. Someone who would come and defeat all the enemies of God. He promised a time when the deserts would bloom like Eden. He promised a time when the lamb and the lion would lie together. Food would be bountiful for all. Disease, war, poverty would be extinct. God promised a time when a man of 100 would be considered a child because people would live so long. Isaiah 65 verse 10, you can go and read that when you go home, verse 20. A time when all would gather and worship God. God promised this and people waited and waited and waited. Now Jesus comes and says, the time has come. The time has come. The decisive display of God's ruling power over earth is about to be unveiled. The kingdom of God is near. That's what Jesus tells them. The kingdom of God is a repeated theme all through the Gospels. You'll hear it again and again about the kingdom of God. What is it? What is the kingdom of God? Many people have written books so thick on what is the kingdom of God. I like to simplify things a little bit when we can. And simply, not fully, but simply we can say the kingdom of God is the reign of God. The coming of God's new world, which is now breaking into the present, where God reigns. Jesus proclaims the good news is that the kingdom of God has come through him, through Jesus. Jesus would be the one that would bring in the kingdom of God. Galatians 4 verse 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. Finally, centuries after this promise had been given in Genesis, now came Jesus, the one who would fulfill that promise. He demonstrates who he is through his life, through his teachings, through his miracles. He is the one who makes it possible today for you to be part of the kingdom of God. He is the one who will usher it in all its fullness one day when he returns again, the Bible says. 1 Timothy 6, verse 14, 15. To keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is a day when Jesus will return. He will return. And he will bring the kingdom in all its fullness. Hebrews 9 verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Waiting for the kingdom of God. God's rule in action to be fulfilled in all its glory. Now, the kingdom of God is present in the lives of those who have bowed the knee to him through trusting in Jesus, those who are allowing God through Christ to reign their lives right now. Luke 17, verse 20 to 21. The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. The reign of God should be in the lives of his children now. While this world may be in despair, as a Christian, a disciple of Christ, you are to go out submitting your life to God each day, allowing him to reign in your life, making a difference wherever you go, as you have bowed the knee to Christ as your Lord and Savior, and living accordingly. Now, something of God's kingdom should be in your life as a Christian. And of course, the Bible talks about then very clearly. Then it will come in all its fullness when Jesus comes again one day. Romans 14:11. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. That day is coming. That day is coming. Jesus came and he told the people that the kingdom of God was near, that it was through him that we could be part of it. But they had to act. They had to react to this good news, as do we. There's no good hearing something unless you act upon it, is there? Won't do you any good at all. But Jesus told the people, how are they to react to this good news? Well, they were to repent and believe the good news. That is how we too are to respond to this amazing earth-shattering news. Repent. It's been talked about a number of times already in this short gospel, in this short chapter. We are called as a people to repent and believe. The divine rule blazed abroad by Jesus, therefore, requires immediate human decision and commitment. Repentance, submission to God's reign, and trust that the incredible is taking place. You need to make sure you have reacted to what Jesus came to do. He came dying on the cross so you can be part of the kingdom of God now and forever. But you must act, because we're not naturally born into the kingdom of God. The Bible says we are naturally enemies of God, born into the kingdom of darkness. That's not the good news we like to hear at times, but that's what the Bible tells us repeatedly. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3, these are hard-hitting verses that we have to think on. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead. in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desire and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. We don't like to hear that, but the Bible tells us we are born in sin, born as enemies of God, helpless until God acted by sending his Son, Jesus, who acted on your behalf and my behalf. You must repent. You must switch your allegiances. Have done with living for this world. Have done with living for yourself. Abandon self-centered living. Abandon your efforts to rule your own life. Abandon all efforts to establish your own kingdom. God is king. God rules. And you and I are called to submit to him. We don't like to submit, do we? We struggle in every way we can, so we don't submit. But we are called to submit, not simply to anyone, but to God, the ruler, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Submit your life to him, confessing your sinfulness as you repent. Yield to him and commit your life to him through Jesus. Allow Jesus to exercise his royal power over you as you trust in him. You can only repent because Jesus has made it possible. Remember that. Jesus has done it all so you can be part of the kingdom of God. He has paid the price for your rebellion, for my rebellion. Make sure you repent and trust in him. And then when you do, you will become a citizen of the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 3. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." You must be born again. You must repent, putting your trust in Christ. When you do, you will be part of the kingdom of God. Now you can start to enjoy something of that relationship with him. As you live your life in submission to his rule, you can start now to receive something of his many, many blessings. And you can look forward to the time when he will return. When he comes again, everything will be renewed. And you'll be with him, enjoying his goodness, his blessings, in all its fullness. But until then, make sure you have repented. And once you have repented and trusted in Christ, make sure you go forth living as faithful citizens of his kingdom, asking his help each day to live your life, not for yourself, but for your God, seeking to do whatever he asks you to do, praying to find his will for you, praying, reading God's word, and as he reveals what he wants you to do, submitting and going forth and doing it. That's what we are called to do as his citizens here on earth until he comes. Put into use whatever gifts he has given us, given you, whatever opportunities he gives you, you should be actively looking for those as you live for Christ. Part of his kingdom, allowing him to reign in your life, looking forward to the time in Christ where he will return and you will be with him for all eternity in his kingdom. The kingdom of God is near. Make sure you will be part of it. Make sure you repent and then live your life for him as king. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do not deserve to be your children. We have disobeyed you in so many ways, rebelling against you. We are amazed that you want us to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Help each one here submit their lives to you as king as they repent and put their trust in Jesus. And then, Lord, help us live as your people. Help us live submitting our lives to you, going out into this world, showing something of your love to all those we meet with. Lord, give us the opportunities, give us the gifts and abilities we need as we seek to serve you as our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, which is entitled there is a coming day. There's coming a day. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, both now and forevermore. Amen.